Let's move forward. Take your document. Everybody repeat after me. Scriptural comprehension of measures. The matrix. Go to page 6 on your document, and then let's go back to this verse in Corinthians. Might seem like we're going over the same thing over and over and over again, but to bring the true light, if that is necessary, we will go over it over and over and over again. Ella Nicholson is our designated reader this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and in your manual, your study guide, page 6. We have been and we will be talking about the matrix. Again, everybody said the matrix. The measures, how God has sequenced and apportioned and laid out all things in manifestation for the sake of testimony. Everything that is to be done has been done and has been enforced and in existence since eternity. I said since eternity. I'm using the time measure frame relativity there. Eternity has never gone anywhere. But that's where everything is actualized and abides. And what we call life and what we're going through each day are exercises for the sake of giving us enlightenment and comprehension of God's glorious workings. We're able to see the majesty, His majesty and supremacy in all things. Everything in all things is according to that which He has laid out. In chapter 10, if you remember, we went through before to bring everything first into context. We are going to do a little recapitulating there. Here in this verse, for context's sake, as he writes to them, in verse 5, he says, "For the weapons of the warfare, our warfare, are not fleshly; they're not worldly, but they're powerful." Here, what he is saying is that this is what overthrows the strongholds of reasoning. Of human and fleshly reasoning. What causes us to rejoice in the God of our salvation is not how much money we've got in our pocket, not whether our bodies are even feeling 100%. My body's not feeling 100% today. But that has no bearing over what God has done for me. The things around us do not form our world. There is a word that we introduced, English word, in the compass. What is that word?
Microcosm.
Microcosm. Everybody say it, microcosm.
Microcosm.
Those that are watching, again, we've just come out of our 18th doctrinal conference, and that information should be on the website in the coming weeks. Look for it. all of the information concerning all of the documents. They are there. And the essence of our life is not in the thing that we are locked into. We are locked into a certain time, a certain day. We're in a certain building. We have certain relationships with one another.
Right. Come on here.
Yeah. And they're earthly assigned.
Yeah. Yeah.
And many of us, we fall into the trap of making this our our soul assessment of life. And this is what we call life. And this is not really the life. So we're locked in the microcosm of, and that word simply means you look in your little world and you think your little world is the world. You look in your community and you think your community defines the world. We're locked in time. We're locked in manifestation. We're locked in physicality and secularity. And we think that is what life is about. And this is what we are attempting to do for those that are watching this document, Scripture Comprehension of Measures, the Matrix. You go and you can click on an icon and that entire document will come up. On the front cover, everybody turn to your front cover. At the top, we have an illustration, someone that has a magnifying glass, and they're looking over the globe. Because to most of us, our life begins and ends at the globe. Even if you were to zoom out of the globe into the solar system, then the globe would become a little dot. And then if you were to zoom out of the solar system into the galaxy, then the sun becomes a little dot. But you've got to keep going to get where God is, to really appreciate. You zoom out of the microwave, the galaxy, and you're into the universe, and now the microwave becomes the dot. But you got to keep on going to get where God has certainly blessed us. There are blessings along the way in each of these stratums. But to really get to the appreciation, so you zoom out of the universe. And when you zoom out of the universe, you are making a transition out of time into eternity. You are making a transition out of physicality and secularity into pure spirituality. You see, we get a lot of things we call spiritual, not spiritual. Healing of your body, that is a blessing. That's a physical blessing. But now we're going to move out of the sphere where there is no time, there is nothing physical, secular. Our bodies even become irrelevant at that point. We zoom into the spiritual aspect of eternality, where everything is actualized. everything is done. Everything is complete. Nothing is challenged. Nothing changes. Oh my God. Everything is in order. And so now you've left the universe. And you're into the world of nothing but God. On the front cover, second illustration we have is the Word of God. The same. This is where everything abides. In eternality. In God's decree. In the same. So that according to Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 3, the thing that appears as we now zoom back down into the microcosm, the thing that showed up there did not come out of what we see. Where did it originate from? The same. It's in the same. Everybody say, it's in the same, not the same. I have another term here, etiology. Everybody say etiology. That is the study of cause. What causes a thing? We're going to deal with that this morning. All right. Everyone as we look at that 10th chapter of Corinthians, so Paul is saying that verse 5, doing away with all this imagining and so-called high things rising up. We're into political season now. Amen. And I agree with one politician that called it the silly season. We're into the silly season. You're going to hear all kind of things for the next several months. And some of us, we get caught up in those things. And I'm not going to argue with another man what he said his calling is. Amen. I know that our calling is into the eternal realm of where God has already accomplished all things to convey this to God's people so that the cause of things are not traced to any political person or any political group or anything that is outside of the realm of God's decree. And so what shows up in the matrix, which we will define in a minute, is, and that's the world we're looking in, what we're looking at, events and occurrences and things, they are placed there for a reason, for God's purpose. They're not there to accommodate any man because they're not there because of any man. And the purpose of them cannot be traced back to any man. It is God in his supremacy in the essence that he's omnipotent, omniscient, he's omnipresent and ubiquitous in the sense that all things abide or reside or exist in him. Remember when we went to Colossians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, 16, 17, 18, it basically says what? In him, what? Through him, and what? For him. So all things exist in him, for him, and through him. Through him and for him. And so everything is about him and not about us. Except as we become components in those things in relationship to testimony. So he, that is God, is the immanent one. And he has the right, and he has exercised that right to do according to what pleases him. And that thing might not even make sense to you. But it's not about us. is all about him. In the seventh verse of that 10th chapter, he said, don't look on things of outward appearance. In other words, as that correlates to what he is conveying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, we're not looking at the things that are seen. And here again, he says the same thing. Don't look at the appearance of things. And he said, don't even trust in yourself of what you can do. Because we can do what? Nothing. All the authority is in him. It is about him. And then verse 12, let's start there, Elder. Read first from the King James, and then after we read from the King James, let's read from the interlineal. But let's start out in the King James. Call your scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Everybody got it? Amen. We must come to a knowledge and understanding of how and what is transpiring before our perceptions to really appreciate God.
Yes.
All right?
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise.
Okay, what is he saying? Now go to the Greek in verse 12.
Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Not for we dare to class with or compare ourselves with some of themselves commending, but they among themselves measuring and comparing themselves with themselves, not do understand.
They're not understanding. It's not wise. When you start to measuring things on the basis of physicality and on the actions of humanity.
Right, right, right. Yes.
On the whims of humankind.
Uh-huh.
And even if that thing does not square up with human reasoning, the essence of God's word I'm speaking of now, you go with God's word. You go with what God has said, even if it contradicts what you see.
Right.
It's what God has said.
Yeah.
The essence of existence is in the decree. And he said, don't compare, don't juxtapose what you're doing with someone else. When you're both probably wrong. Both of you. And if 50,000 people are looking at it, and they said, that's it, that's still might not be what it is. Because there are 50,000 angles that you can look into the matrix. And depending upon what angle you're looking at is what you see or what you think you see.
I hear you.
But the Shearer's methodology
sure is
scripture viewing. Everybody says scripture viewing.
Scripture viewing.
Which entails the vertical, eternal perspective
where God has accomplished all things. And so we're not dependent upon what we're looking at in the mirror. For what's in the mirror could be distorted. You ever gone into what they, at the carnivals, they call the mirror house. You look in and your face may look real long. Now, if you go by what's in there, you see? And what it is, there is some distortion in the mirror, or there's some distortion in the light, or there's a combination of the two, and so what you see is really not what you get. That's not really it. So the real essence of it is the word of God. Now we come to verse 13. First from the King James. Read.
But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you.
All right, let's go to the Greek.
But we not immeasurably will boast, but according to the measure of the rule which divided to us God, of measure to reach as far as even you.
Now there are three verbs in that verse. The first one is tops, klis, or metha. And it is what we call an indicative future. Brother Deacon, do you have your Greek lexicon? All right, keep it handy. What is an indicative future?
Future fact.
Here you have an adjective there, arbitra, which is translated unmeasurable or unmeasured. And that Greek word kos, klis, ometha is translated boast or take pride, even try to take credit for. What Paul is speaking here of the unmeasurable things. What are the unmeasurable things? That's what's in eternality. That's the thing. That's what abides beyond us.
All right, now.
That's the actualized state of things.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the eternal realm.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, "We dare not even try to." Go there to try to deal with what's there in relationship to say we have nothing to do there. And most of us don't. Here he uses a strong what we call superordinate conjunction. What is a superordinate conjunction? That means it takes precedence that over what is previously said. So he's saying here, but. So we don't look there. So where are we looking? We're looking into, it says, according to, here you have the noun metron, which is translated measure. But as we look into the matrix and we look into the mess, into the essence of what is there. There are two things that we must immediately understand. First of all, we have the Greek verb amarisin, which is translated upon it. What is that verb, Brother Deacon?
It's
an indicative error. What's the indicative mood? I said, Pastor, why are we going through all this thing? Just listen. What's the aorist tense? So you have a completed fact.
That's right.
That whatever is in
the matrix. Whatever you sin, it was upon it. Got third person singular. So you're not saying I or me or you. You're saying he or him or his. Speaking of who? God. He appointed it. That thing that's driving you crazy, God appointed it.
Oh,
no, the devil did that. No. Listen to me. Who's in control of the universe?
God.
Glory. Yeah, the devil may be a participator. That's what he was created for. But he takes all. Oh my God, he is a sign to distribute in manifestation depravity, but there are bricks on it. There's a now in there that's in the genetic case that's is kanonos, which is translated limited. Who has appointed and limited what's there? So the appointment is according to the limit. The genitive is that's possession. Who controls the limits of what's there? God. Don't you ever think that God, for one nano of a second, has lost control? That thing is there for purpose. Everybody say purpose. And so it reads that God basically has pointed and limited as to what transpires, what happens. Here Paul refers to as God's measure. God's measure. Here, the second time he uses that, now it is this declension is metru, which is in the genitive case this time. Basically, God's measure. God's measure. How long it lasts? How far it goes, and when it stops. God has measured that. And you know what? That should give us some comfort. I think of story in the Old Testament. Most of us love those Old Testament stories. No, that's right. Remember when David was given the choice to be under the the sanction of God for a long period, or be under the sanction of man for a shorter period. Mm-hmm. Remember that story?
Yeah.
Which one did David choose? So, I'd rather be under the sanction of God, or under the mercy of God, for 20 years than be under the mercy of man for 20 minutes. Everybody said God is in control. Now the last verse in that verse, efficace, it's translated reach. And so Paul said, extent, the extent of it. How far we can extend to you is according to what God has appointed. But I love this part. And it's in line with what is in the verb amorisi, translated
appointed. The point and extent. What is that, Brother Deacon, that verb? That's the reach, to reach. That is all right. I'm looking here at the clutch, you know. Okay, so okay, all right, thank you. That's an aorist infinitive. What is an infinitive?
Verbal noun.
What is a noun? First place or thing of how something is going to go. And so it's the actual words telling you how far that thing is going to go. But this is what should give you the comfort. Mm-hmm. It's in the aorist tense.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the aorist tense. What is the aorist tense? Completed action.
Yeah.
When did God complete the action?
In
eternity. So that thing already is there and set as to how far it will extend.
Oh, thank God.
Whether that's financial trouble, whether it's sickness, whether it's domestic, whether it's whatever it might be. That thing is set. And it can't go any further. And it's already there. Your conscience just hasn't caught up with it yet. No, we don't know. I don't know what it is. It is, regardless of the fact that you don't know what it is.
Right. Amen. Hallelujah.
But do you have confidence and trust in the one who placed it there?
Hey.
I'm sick. I'm infirm. I'm broke. I've been rejected. I'm being persecuted, plotted against. Paul is in jail. Listen to me. He's writing and he's saying, "Rejoice!" And again, I said, "Rejoice!" And they're plotting to kill him, and eventually did. But he wasn't concerned about that. Oh my God. Because he had confidence in the one who had placed it there.
Yes.
And he had confidence in the work of God. He who had begun the good work, God will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
And so he said, "Rejoice."
This is how our lives must be lived.
Come on, Pastor. That's right.
Through the knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes,
Lord. All right, I said I wasn't going to preach too long today. I've timed that clock is moving. and I feel better too. Thank the Lord. What is this? Verse 6, let's go to the topic that we had gone through this before. I'm going to reiterate this and then we're going to move forward. Page 6 of the document. Everybody say amen. At the top. What is the scriptures versus physical secular designation of measure the matrix? Let's juxtapose the scripture versus the secular designation of what's there. This other dissemination of occurrences and measures significantly outlays the sequence manifestation of what seemingly transpires. Again, the Greek word metron, rendered measure, conveys proverbially the rule of standard of judgments determined in proportionally extents. We just got through with that word there. Of limits. This mode is expressive in quantitative methodology of rationing what, when, why, and how. Let's go through that again. What, when, why, and how. Again. What, when, why, and how. These extents are assigned and set there and they're not controlled by any man.
No,
like David, he said, hey, put me under the sanction of God forever.
Yeah.
And not even 12 seconds under man. I'd rather be under God's. Y'all don't hear me this morning. And you are. I lost my job. Why did you lose your job? Purpose. So God wouldn't do that. And here we have in the kingdom of God, God dismissing people from their job. Peter was a fisherman, right? Until the day he met Jesus. That job was over, wasn't it? Every one of those disciples had a vocation. Amen. Oh my God. Everybody said purpose.
Purpose.
Said, Pastor, you're crazy. No, no, no. No, no, no. So what, when, how and why is such is exacted within limits? Within limits. God assigned for manifestations in the workings of such, but more explicitly, what is allowed according to his eternal purpose. It's already set in his purpose. In this sense, the preciseness of what is scripturally viewed solely delineates how, here we have the Greek word police. Police, which is translated much, which speaks of amount. And so how much the situation roll, and we say it's out of control. It's not out of control. The amount is set. And then he tells us that he gives us the grace to bear it. And that no more is placed upon you than God has given you the grace to bear it. He sends the test, but also he sends the grace. Oh my God, y'all. To deal with the test.
Yeah.
He gives grace in poverty, in financial challenges. He gives grace in infirmities and sickness. He gives grace. Oh, my God. Y'all don't hear me this morning. How much is God's grace worth? The Lord told Paul, my grace is sufficient. It's adequate. Oh, my God. Y'all don't hear me. It may come and may abound, but then my grace superabounds. How much, whether quantified in expansion or contraction, that is how great that thing is going to grow or how small that thing is going to grow. It's set. Now, in modernistic terminology, this nomenclature is exacted in exhibits of the matrix. That's what's there. That's what we see. And there are variations of classifications, which encumber physicality, utilization of arrays. And these things are expressed in geology, in science, in mathematics, in engineering technology, art, and even entertainment. Every football game, the score, the final score is set before they started. Oh my God. Nothing moves. Nothing trembles. Except God has ordered it and set it and controls it. Oh my God. There we are walking around with butterflies in our stomach.
Oh,
I love the testimony again. He said, Pastor, you keep bringing it up. I'm going to keep bringing it up. Mother Goodloe Johnson, Pastor, didn't you say the thing is already done? Yes. Why worry about something that's already done? Unless you don't have confidence in the one who has who did it. Huh? If you're kind of shaky about the person that did it, now you're shaky about what's done. I'm going to try to finish up this page today at least. Now that's classification wise. Now let's move to categorization-wise. What is the major categorization-wise? Second paragraph. Are you with me? Are you with me? The matrix is secularly, physically defined in reference to persons, characteristics, organizations, and productions. So everything that's happening in the world, every category that you can convey in physicality and secularity, these are the categories. Now, in these forums, the matrix is an array, it's a grid, situating a surrounding core, listen, within which something else originates, develops, or is contained. What are we saying there? Whatever is there didn't originate there. It was placed there. Amen. It was assigned there. Didn't we just read that in the matrix, everything is assigned. So it doesn't originate there. Amen. And that's why it doesn't stay there. Okay. I like the expression of the King James. He said, it came to pass. Everything that comes in the matrix, it moves through the matrix and then it's gone. Amen. It comes to pass. Everything in time comes and it passes. Nothing stays there. You know why nothing stays there? Because there's nothing there. That's why it's a matrix. How many of you saw the Matrix movie? I saw it. It came on AMC. That's what I got a chance to watch it. And the guy said, boom. He said, whoa. He said, it's not there. He said, it was never there. He said, but I felt it. He said, no. That was in your mind. He said, Pastor, you're crazy. This thing is beating me up. You're telling me it's not there. I'm telling you that the essence of it, amen, is more in purpose than what it is depicted to be. Everybody said purpose. It's more about what its internal intentions are than what it seems to be an observation. Is there for a purpose? Now let's move to manifestation wise. Manifestation wise, are you with me? Are you with me? Manifestation wise, events and objects are signified in an array of which patterns, listen, patterns and non-patterns, exhibit an image and sequences. Look what's happening. Define similarity between data points. What are you talking about? The pastor, you way out there. No, I'm not. That thing is set one way and it does something, and then you look at that same thing that's set and you think it's going to do the same thing, and it doesn't. Sometimes it does the opposite. Sometimes it's a winner and sometimes it falls flat on its face. The problem is you were looking into the matrix and you were betting on the physicality of it. Determine what it is.
And so this is why it defies any continuity of confidence as we move from one point to the other. And of course, in life, you say, well, I don't know. I think it'll work. I hope it'll work. This, the way I set it up, it works. Last time I did it that way, and it worked. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong with your plan? No. Because the result is not based upon your plan.
I hear you.
How could it be? If you didn't put it there, you can't control it. Oh, my God. We're going to run over just a little bit this morning. Manifestation-wise, events and objects are assigned in the array. I'm going over this again. Which patterns and non-patterns. Now, you know that the asteroid that missed the Earth? Tuesday? Some of y'all forgot all about it, didn't you? They had calculated the trajectory of it. I've got it on my computer. And of course, I don't. No, I better not get into the mathematics anyway. The trajectory is based upon several variants that are not really reliable. They're based on the straight line theory. And so the trajectory of the curve of the arc is made up of tangents. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is that the universe, of the map of the universe, is not a straight line. The map is warped. And that's the effect that Newton called gravity, and we call gravity. That's what causes the wave of motion. And so you don't get the straight line. And so nothing is exact. And then there are other variants. There are other objects out there. There are thousands of particles out there. All it needs is for one sizable one to nudge it, and it would change its trajectory. So they could only calculate where they thought it would be. And here you got the Earth moving, you got the moon moving, and then you got this asteroid moving, and the trajectory there is saying it's going to miss. And even though they may calculate it as a pattern, my friend, that's a non-pattern. Now what are we saying? How things go, how things come out, amen. Oh, my God, it's not based upon what we do, what we think, how we do. Oh, my God, politicians, the nonsense that we're hearing. We're going to change this. We're going to do this. That's what got Obama in trouble. Yes, we can. No. It's not about us. It's about him. God has the agenda. All we have is imaginary itineraries. God has the agenda. He set it there because of him. Let me complete this thing here now. Concomitantly, that is, in the same sense of things working at the same time. Concomitantly, change in deposits seems to exhibit possible paradoxical themes and time sequenced alignments with numerous meanings, often referring materially where specialized structures are formed and embedded. We just went through that Oh, my God. Everything that's there is arranged, is there for a purpose. Everything according to what God purposes for that thing is how that thing works. And it's independent of the other thing. Say, this draws on that. No, no. Everything works. Everything moves. Oh, my God. Everything operates to the cadence of God's drumbeat. That's the way it works. And that's why things don't always come out the same. Because it's not about the thing. It's about what God has for the thing. This unstable and insecure maze induces numerous propositions, often insinuating illusions of shaped and entrenched structures. These elements of variations induce ramifications, that word that should be, that protrude. Everybody take your pen and change that. Blame that on the typist, that's me. Ramifications that protrude, the constant changes, agitating and imaginative virtual reality environment of confusing compilations. What are we saying there? It is the variations that we've just talked about that induces what protrudes and causes the constant changes. You know how they predict the weather sometimes? And sometimes it works that way and sometimes it doesn't. So, well, Mother Nature did cooperate today. No. 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 The little world that we live in, our macrocosm, is really what we call virtual reality. You know what virtual is? They've got, you can go and, I've gone to Carnival sometimes and they had this thing, you look through these little things. And it's like you drive in the car. And it's and you get caught up in that thing, you'll be going. And then if it's almost a crash, you're like, then you come out of it, you say, oh, that's okay. The confusing things of life. There's no confusion when you're looking at scripture viewing rather than matrix viewing. Hear me this morning. So now at the bottom of the page, I'm going to finish this today. What is the scripture identification of the matrix? What is the scripture identification of the matrix? Scripture-wise, 2 Corinthians 10, 13, verse, we in regards to the measurable things will not boast ourselves, but after the measure of the limits that the God of measure appointed to us to reach even unto you. In spiritual light of enactment of actualization in God's decree in eternity, and an inevitableness of manifestation measured solely in the globe matrix, this verse conveys such enlightened assessments in this respect. Follow this now. We're into the final lap here. The adjectival phrase tar arbitral, rendered immeasurable things, may also be rendered beyond measures, which are consigned exclusively in God, the one who owns such as a result of having created the limits of the measures, that is metron, measure. Now the absolute determinant, we're in here. The absolute determinant and sole standard of reliability resides in the actualized essence of eternity. In the, here we have the Greek word rhemati theou, rendered saying of God. I'm going to repeat that. The absolute determinant of all things, of everything, is in the actualized essence of eternality in the decree of God, of the Son of God. Here that Greek word, rhemati, is singular. Oh, yeah. One Son. complete. And nothing is challenged. A question is there. Everybody says it's already there. That is according to Hebrews 11:3. This comprehension certifies that all measures in the format of limitedness for the exclusive purpose of manifestations and testimonies. What's the ultimate end of it? To the ultimate praise and glory of God. I said it together again. To the ultimate praise and glory of God. One more time. To the ultimate praise and glory to God. It's all about Him. You're losing your job. It's going to ultimately praise God. All of the things that we go through in life are to the ultimate praise and glory of God. Said, well, I don't see how that could praise God. Said, life doesn't exist upon what we see. What I see. What we see is the essence of what God has decreed and said. Look and live. As the song said, look and live. If you caught it in God's word, look and live. Oh my God, hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Isn't God great? Isn't He wonderful? Isn't He magnificent? Isn't He glorious? Oh, give Him a praise. Give Him a praise. Give Him a praise. Give Him a praise. Give Him. Oh, my. Hey, hallelujah. Glory.